Well, I'm glad that you made it out this morning on this day. I hear the chain bridge was closed, which, who knew? Who knew? I was thankful that my drive this morning seemed to be relatively smooth, but I came across the Key Bridge, and I'm thankful for all of you who dug your cars out of the icicle and have joined us this morning. As you know, we're in the midst of a study on making sense of the Bible, and this is the week in which we're looking, and we had our forum about the Bible and science. And I have to tell you that I took the required science courses that I needed to graduate from high school and college. But that's it. I am not by any stretch of the imagination a scientist. But it doesn't mean that I am ignorant of science. I actually enjoy learning scientific principles. One of my favorite fields in science is geology. And I was trying to understand how the Earth's plates moved in such a way to form the uplifts and the deep chasms. It wasn't long ago, just within the last 2 years, that I made two trips to the Grand Canyon, where I saw the power of water to influence what appears to be an impenetrable surface. Of course, it did take millions of years, but water always wins. And my love of science is because I love the outdoors and the forms of the earth, and I like to experience it in its various forms. And the yearning to understand how it came to be is why science is important to me. But I am certainly a layperson in regard to scientific knowledge, but I am not a layperson in religion and spirituality. I have a few degrees in that area, and I've spent a considerable portion of my life studying it, particularly Christianity. I was drawn to this study for three reasons. First of all was my curiosity about sacred scripture. Second, my interest in the development of human ethics over time. And third, my passion for caring for other people. And although raised in the church and loved by many Christians, I was not developed as a person of faith until I had spent years delving deep into the traditions that I practice today. So I begin telling you that I am a professional in faith, but I still enjoy and revere science and learning about the complexities of the natural world, because a lot of us come at this from a variety of different angles, this whole idea of the Bible and science. I mean, there are some on the faith side, not this person, but many, who discount anything that science has to say about anything. And there are some on the science side who discount anything that cannot be proven by the scientific method. This is what, in legal terms, is called willful blindness. We just don't take the time or put in the effort to struggle with questions that discount our own worldview. C.S. Lewis used the term willful blindness to describe his view of religion as a young adult. If you know his story, you know that that's not the way he ended his life, but it was the way he began it. It is what happens when we ignore challenging questions because it requires us to think outside of our sphere of expertise. And most Western thinkers are more scientists than theologian. It's because we require, as a culture, more learning of science than we do spiritual things. Even those of us who grew up attending church, science wins, because it is part of the required courses in our schools. And in order to succeed in most anything, we need to have a base level of scientific knowledge. Not so much with spiritual things, unless you're seeking a certain kind of profession. I think we can all agree that science will continue to be more of a focus in our educational systems. And we hear about it every day. We hear about STEM. We talk about wanting to have more math and scientists to raise our level of abilities in the world. And we could probably also agree that the spiritual disciplines will be revered by a continuing smaller subset of our population. But this is not new. I mean, there are many who can check off that they have been religious in all the ways you might measure it. But they know very little about the depth of spiritual practice. Because to get that knowledge requires a commitment that few make, because we are busy people. Earlier this week, I attended a clergy gathering called by our bishop to talk about addictions. The presenter, who was a professional in the field, told the story of an addict who returned to Carl Jung for treatment, obviously when Carl Jung was alive, during multiple relapses. Finally, Jung said, according to this presenter, that he could do nothing for this person, and that his only possible treatment was to find the spirit, the spiritual, the greater being in his life. Realizing that the spiritual is an important part of our development is the first step to realizing the difference between the Bible and science. I mean, if we believe the Bible is a guidebook written by God to define the scientific principles of the day, or to provide the history of the creation, and even to be our behavioral textbook and our rule book, that's missing the point. The Bible is a series of stories told by people in certain times and places that describe their own spiritual gleanings. Miracles are avenues to describe the power of God, but they also offer examples of behaviors that probed the wise. In today's lessons, we fortuitously, for this series topic, have the story of Noah and the Ark. Every once in a while, I will see a special advertised on National Geographic Channel or the Discovery Channel or one of those channels like that, proclaiming that they have found the Ark and that they can explain through scientific phenomenon how the flood and the Ark are possible. There are people who will come to me time to time to tell me that they have watched these episodes, and I have seen portions of them myself. If you watch these things and watch them for long enough, you will know that the logic involved in making Noah's Ark a reality in science is totally far-fetched. And that is when those of us programmed with scientific learning, even at an elementary level, like myself, we call it a foul. I mean, it's when many people who are willfully blind will give up on faith or in any power that defines their moral responsibility. I mean, Noah, the Ark, and the Flood are not scientific or historical phenomena. It is a story that teaches us about our natural disposition to stray from the goodness of God, the power of a righteous hero, in this case Noah, to realign with God and to bring people along that path. And that is an everlasting promise that God will love all of creation, and that we, as spiritual beings, are responsible for its care. That is at the heart of that story. It's an archetypal story. It's often borrowed from other ancient epics, just as that story is borrowed from the Gilgamesh epics. It is trying to teach us something about what we are to be doing in the world. What is at our soul? What is in our heart? The story of Jesus from today's gospel also points us to a practice. I mean, after Jesus' baptism, he enters the desert for a 40-day test. Did it really last 40 days? That's not the most important piece. The essence of this story is that we need to discover what our true being is. And that means that we've got to escape from our regular routines and find something that grounds us in who we are. And that is why this passage is read near the beginning of our Lenten season, because this is the season in which we do those things. It is our spiritual discipline that takes a commitment to do something for the greater good. In the first session of Making Sense of the Bible, I spoke about creation. It is one of the best-known stories in the Bible. It is also the portion of Scripture most often used to discount faith in God. The Bible and science are asking questions in two different realms. And when we try to describe them in the same sentence, we have failed to honor the importance and even the joy of delving into each of them. I hope that you can take one thing from this topic, God and the Bible. Don't let go of science. And don't let go of the Bible. Each have important truths that define who we are as humans. We have swayed to a reliance on science to describe everything, but science is not able to answer the foundational why questions. Why do we live? Why do we love? It is not equipped, science that is, to grapple with questions of what happens beyond our existence on this planet. Science doesn't deal with questions of the soul. We need faith and religion and the Bible to discover and reflect on meaning. Why do we do what we do? So I call on you during this season of Lent or at any time in your life to reflect on your vocation. How does that connect with your faith? I mean, what passage of Scripture describes your purpose in the world? That is the benefit of discovering what is deep within your soul. Why do you do the things you do? And discovering that will bring you more wholeness than any scientific knowledge, because it will touch your heart. So don't give up on the Bible. Don't give up on science. Discover both of them. Dig deep and find how they both can give us joy and can give us meaning.